If you'd like to take your Bibles, we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. In the two epistles that Paul wrote to the young minister Timothy, it was his intent to be an encouragement, his intent to reveal compassion that he always had for him like a son. And obviously, by writing this, he was encouraging him not only to be true to his friendship with Paul, but to recognize the importance of his work on behalf of the Church of Christ there in Ephesus. And as we get to chapter 2, I want to start with verse 7 and notice the things that Paul expressed. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. For Paul to express his desire for him to consider what I say, and to pause enough to where he encourages him, it's his desire that he may understand why Paul is expressing the statements that he is. I want to back up to chapter 1 and look at a couple of the phrases that Paul has expressed so far in this epistle to Timothy, beginning in verse 6, stir up. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. We're reaching a time of year to where, whether we recognize it or not, temperature's going to get cooler. And when temperatures get cooler, we like to build a fire. In building a fire, you tend to find that fire began waning somewhat. Well, if you want to keep the fire burning, what do you have to do? You stir it up. You rekindle it. And I find it interesting that Paul is not saying, I'm writing this to stir you up. He's telling Timothy, you do the stirring. You know, there are times in our life to where we may feel like that our fire's not burning for the Lord like it ought to be. And you know what we tend to do is we tend to blame. Here's why I'm not on fire for the Lord. And we begin pointing a finger here and pointing it there. And maybe we're even bold enough to point it to the church or point it to God himself. Paul tells Timothy, you stir up what God's put in you. You rekindle how God has equipped you. You rekindle what you already have, and that's a love for Jesus Christ. That's a love for God. That's recognizing the blessings that you have. You stir up. John, in his revelation, in writing to the church, remember Jesus says, remember your first love. So stir up. Is what he says. Verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Now, can you imagine telling a preacher, don't be ashamed of the gospel? That's what Paul's doing. How do we reach a level to where we're ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Well, we can reach a level of shame when we forget the power that's in it. When we forget the power when we first believed. You remember Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power to those who believe that brings salvation. We begin thinking that we're not right with God and we can't be right with God. It may be to where, whether we realize it or not, we have denied the giver of the gospel as we've had opportunities to talk about our blessings, to talk about the goodness that's in our life as to where we recognize all good gifts come from. We become ashamed of the gospel because it's not the focus point of our life. Verse 13, hold fast the pattern of good words. Chapter 2, verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. If Paul was making the same request out of us, can we consider what he is saying and understand that we can reach a point in our lives to where we allow this world to take our focus off of what matters most, to where we begin being dominated with things and threats and all of the dangers and evils that are around us, to where we just want to go and hide and wait for the storm to pass? Verse 8, remember Jesus Christ. Why is it that we need to be encouraged to remember? Well, it's because we are forgetful people. And some of us are at a disadvantage more so than others. Age works against us and our memory. I know we confess that a lot, those of us that struggle with names and faces and places and events that go back. Let me give you this, just in case there are family members that are wearing you out because of your forgetfulness. You remind them about their computers, that there is a limit to the hard drive that those computers have. And at some point, they may come to you and they may say, I don't have enough memory. What do they want to do? They want to buy something that has more memory to them. Just tell them, your hard drive is at capacity. And you can only hold so much data. And if they didn't have all of these friends and you had to purge your old memories and hang on to new memories, you'd be in good shape. As a people, we forget. And we can so easily be pulled away from what we know, but it creates an emptiness in our life because we forget things that are really important to us. The people of old are held up as an example for us. The people in the Old Testament, the Israelites. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, they are getting ready to enter into the promised land. And chapter 8 here in Deuteronomy is a powerful statement that Moses gives them on behalf of God to let them know that the life that they're about to enjoy after this wandering and after bondage is going to be such a blessed life that God's going to provide them, which they don't deserve, that it will impact them to the level to where, of all things, they'll forget God. Now think about that. Can we reach a level of life that is so good that we forget God? Yes, we can. Verse 2, he says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, and of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, a land in which you will eat without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones and irons, and out of these hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and you are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. But you beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Verse 14. Here's the secret. He says, when your heart is lifted up. Now, what does that mean? When your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, you forget who brought you out of the land of Egypt, you forget who brought you out of the house of bondage, you forget who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, you forget the one who humbled you and who tested you to do good all the way to the end. And you'll say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Isn't that amazing? The more God blesses us, the easier it is to forget Him. We need help remembering. But what is it that Paul told Timothy to remember? Remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. And he tells Timothy two things about Christ to hang on to. One is, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, that He is the promised one to sit on David's throne, that He is a king of kings, but being of the seed of David, don't forget that He came out of heaven and was incarnate. He lived as a man. He was human and walked among us. So He had a natural side to where He came to fulfill the promise of God. And in doing that, He revealed God among us. And so you could see the very nature and character of God because He walked among us. Don't forget that He lived. Remember that Jesus Christ, the second thing, He was raised from the dead according to the gospel. When you ask the Romans to remember Jesus Christ, what would they remember? They remembered He lived. They remember He died and that He was buried. That's what they remembered. What is Paul telling us to remember? Remember that He was raised. And He's not just pointing back to Calvary. He's not just pointing back to the grave and the open tomb and the rock that was moved. He's not just getting us to look at that. What He's telling Timothy is that He was raised from the dead, and what He wants Timothy to understand is that He's alive. Remember that Jesus Christ is alive. And that He is actively working and demonstrating the faithfulness of God by His relationship with the church today. But more importantly, He's working with you and He's working with me. And so when we allow ourselves not to be tied just to an historical event or not just a powerful day that Jesus died on the cross, but recognize that there is a purpose for us as the family of God today because Jesus lives. And He reminds him, be faithful to remember. Because when you do, you recognize that the power of God, the Word of God, is not chained like Paul described himself. And so we are faithful to the Word of God. And we'll endure all things for our brothers. We are faithful to each other because we've identified with Christ and we desire to obtain that salvation when Jesus comes back in eternal glory. But most of all, we endure because we want to live with Him. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we've looked at Calvary and we recognize the saving blood that is there and we have crucified our old man, crucified the flesh, and by the blood of Christ arise in newness of life, then if we endure and we remember, we will live with Him forever. What happens if we forget? Well, we'll deny Him. He'll deny us. What happens if we're faithless? It does not change the power of Jesus Christ one iota. And the saving blood that He gave for all of us. He will continue to be faithful, faithful to God's eternal plan of redemption and continue to be there for all those that are faithful. Now, as He stirred him up and told him to endure this hardship as a soldier, Jesus Christ was in the greatest battle and in the greatest victory. He tells them, look at the athletes. Jesus Christ was in the greatest race and had the greatest win. He said, look at the life of a farmer. Jesus Christ had the most powerful seed and continues to plant it even today. But our focus is not just on the seed as believers, it's on the harvest. And our desire when He comes again to be found faithful and because of Him, live with God forever. Forever. It's really no secret that you would not be any different than a lot of others if you have said more than once, I cannot wait until life with this virus is over. We've been talking about it a lot, and we've been challenging ourselves a lot, and we keep talking about that day to where we can hang up these masks for good. And I really do think that day will come. Don't have a clue when. But I do think it will. But let me add another one just in case. Doesn't mean that it's a surefire thing, but it would not surprise me if one or more of us have taken that statement and we've echoed it to where we've applied it something like this. I cannot wait till this election is over. And you see, what we do is we're literally asking for something that we don't want to do. I mean, I can tell you, I don't want my grandkids to get older. I want to keep them as babies. I've done messed up with my kids. I couldn't keep them as babies. So for some reason, I think I can keep my grandkids as babies. But you can't do that if you speed up the calendar. And that's what we're working against. We're rowing in a current we can't get through. So even if we desire to speed up the days and put up these masks and get Election Day over with, we really can't. But why is it that we want to get rid of the mask, and why is it that we want Election Day to pass? They both have something in common, and that is we want to get back to our life like we like it, right? And in doing that, there are things that we have given up. You say, what does this election cost me? Well, you can't watch your TV programs without being stirred up. You can't enjoy social media without just deleting. Everything has taken over your comfort. And so we tell ourselves, I just want this to be over with. You know, if we remember Jesus Christ and that He lives, it's not a matter to where we can just speed up life and set Him to the side. And what I mean by that is literally what happens when the comforts of our life are not prevalent for us and we have to retreat. We tend to retreat totally. From not only the world and its influence, but even from Jesus and His influence. His work never ends. The calling for us as followers of Jesus Christ does not hit the pause button. It's not pushed aside and allows us to reset. That there is still the recognition that His word is not chained. And that if we live with Him, we endure. So there is work to be done even when we lose our comforts. I want you to go back to the first epistle, chapter 2. The first epistle, chapter 2. Paul here tells Timothy, fight the good fight. And continue to do the work of Jesus Christ. And he begins in chapter 2, verse 1, saying this, therefore. You remember that word, therefore? You know, it's going back to what he's just already said. And what he's already said is that God will equip you, and I charge you to build your faith and keep a good conscience, and in doing that is keep pressing forward for Him. Hold up the banner of the cross. Therefore, in your day, in your time, here's what you need to do. First of all, take supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, we can talk a great deal about how we don't understand what's going on in our world. And we don't. I don't know that you can have the answer for why we have become this people that are so divided and so easily stirred to choose, well, hatred before love. To look, to set aside, and how contagious it can be even with believers who recognize the level of applying the love of God in our life today has no limits. And it applies to everybody the Lord sends in our path. We're called to love them. And so there are many things we don't understand. We don't understand the virus. We don't understand what's going on in our backyards. But we just have this feeling that if we could get things back like it was, then everything would be all right. And you see, you kind of have to ask yourself, are we telling ourselves that because our hearts have been lifted up? Because we've been so blessed with comfort? Because God has surrounded us with so much stuff and so much convenience that we want to go back to that life, and we're more focused on that than we are in fighting the good fight? What if this is our wilderness? What if this is our test? What if the manna that we have is the fact we can't go out to eat, and the fact that what we are eating, the grocery store is now bringing to us, or we're picking it up and not picking it out ourselves, that we have reached some level to where our comfort is more important to us than taking a look and remembering Jesus who lives today? Now, this understanding, if we have to look at this election thing, are you saying that I should not only be praying for the guy I like, but for the guy I don't like? That's kind of what he's saying, isn't it? And there are a lot of guys we don't like. Just like the kings that Paul's talking about is the Roman emperors. And so I can say there are a lot of things I don't understand, but you know what Paul says is the top priority for the church is to be praying. And that praying has a purpose to it. First is, even though I don't understand it, he said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Notice how God's referred to our Savior. You see, we never forget the fact that Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, it is the reminder that through him is salvation. There is no other way but through Jesus Christ. Paul reiterates that, verse 5. There is one God, one living God. And there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is the only way for us to reach God because of his sacrifice and because of the empty tomb. Our focus has never set aside, and that is God's desire for all men to be saved. Doesn't mean all will, because he continues to allow man to choose. But we're called to pray. And we pray for those that are in authority. We pray for those who desire to be in authority. And we pray that we might enjoy a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Doesn't mean it's going to be a utopia. Believers will always suffer. Those that are in the battle will always take wounds and nicks and bruises. Those that are holding up the banner of Jesus Christ will always be persecuted. But the church first and foremost should be praying. If it is true that we stand with Jesus Christ. Verse 6, He gave Himself a ransom for all. He didn't just pay a ransom. He gave a ransom. He gave His life. And as the Hebrew writer said, He gave it once for all. It was the ultimate sacrifice. It was the ransom that satisfied the wrath of God when it came to our sin. And it is the peace through Jesus Christ that brings that relationship with God for all that see the love of God, respond to the love of God, and are saved by the blood of the sacrificial lamb. And so we are called. We are called to be a people that remember that Jesus Christ who lives. So there is work to be done. And there is loss that needs to be saved. And even in this pandemic, the church should be active. And if you're not sure what you can do or what you should do, let me tell you what is good in the sight of the Lord is you pray. You pray for this wilderness experience that many are going through in the fear of not making it home. For the fear that many have with this election. That for somehow God will surrender His control over His universe that He created. For He never will. His mighty hand is at work and Jesus is alive. It would not be contrary to the will of God if you choose to add subjects to your prayer. Things like, God, send Jesus soon. That's a faithful prayer for many believers. They're ready to go home. They're ready for the victory for all of God's elect to be revealed and to be shared by the promise of Jesus' return and the eternal kingdom, beginning life for all to be gathered together and to praise God and for our hope to become sight and our faith to be fulfilled. If you believe that Jesus Christ is alive and active in you, like Paul said, He lives in me. If you recognize that that is true for all believers, then do what Paul encouraged Timothy to do. Remind them of these things. Be diligent with the Word of God. Shun profane and empty talk. Flee lust. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Stand strong and be faithful to the one that is faithful to you. Sin separates us from God. We know that. But we need to be reminded. The faithfulness of God continues with the saving blood to where even in our sins, repenting, confessing, and coming back to the loving Father makes us right again. That's only done through our mediator, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we'll have fellowship and communion with God the Father. Do you enjoy that today? Are you standing with Him? If not, remember that He lives and the gospel call is still alive and vibrant in our life today.